Welcome to Legacy Game Changers. I'm your host, Annetta Rogers, accountant, tax preparer, certified money coach, insurance agent, and travel agent. On today's episode, my guest, Rhonda Bagby, and I will be discussing employee benefits. Rhonda is a benefit insurance specialist, financial coach, entrepreneur, and in the past she was a partner in a barbecue business and a pizza business, and she's a real estate investor. Thank you for joining me today, Rhonda.
Thank you for having me, Zanette.
I really appreciate you. So let's get started. Can you give me an overview of the enrollment process?
Okay, yes. So the enrollment, as an enroller, I'm a contractor. And human resources, they have a lot of work to do. So what they started doing is outsourcing their enrollment business. And what they do is they contact the broker hires an enrollment company, or sometimes the broker, you know, we work under the broker also. And our job is to go over the benefits with the employees. Now, prior to the enrollment, I have to make sure I know those benefits. I have to train and study those benefits. It could be as far as medical, dental, it could be Aetna, Cigna, Blue Cross Blue Shield. I mean, every single company. I've been doing this for 18 plus years. So every single company out there I have to know, all right? So I have to be very prepared because I want to make sure I give the employees the right information. There's more than one type of enrollment. There's a face-to-face and there's call center. And during COVID, they have other types of enrollments that they're doing also. But the most popular ones are face-to-face and call center. Now, I personally prefer face-to-face. Because you're more, you know, you get to know the person. I love meeting people, you know, and that's why I love doing this. This is not something that we do all year round. Most of the times we do it when people are having their open enrollment season, but I love doing it. And it's part of, you know, the insurance business. This is just another avenue that you can use your insurance license for. So when I go, I sit down with an employee. They normally have a time slot, sometimes 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, depending on how many benefits are going to be offered. Now, the most important thing to be a great enroller, you have to listen. And I have great listening skills because that's going to determine what plan I put them in. You know, I need to guide them to make sure they're making the right decisions. If I sit down with someone, the first plan we always start with is the medical plan because that's the plan that's going to take the most of our time. Because, a lot of people probably in this industry, I've done every single industry from trucking, healthcare, engineers, state, factory workers. Around 50% of the employees do not understand their healthcare plan. So my job is to make sure they, you know, sign up for the right plan that suits them. And when I listen to someone may say, oh, I go to the doctors every month. I have to get blood work, you know. There's traditional plans, and then they have what is called high deductible plan, and then they have HMO plans. So we got to make sure if somebody says, I do this, then they might be better off on a plan that has co-pays. You know, so sometimes you don't want to put someone in a high deductible plan when I know they're going to be constantly putting money out of their pocket each month. So the important thing is making sure they sign up for the correct medical plan. And then we go through the dental and vision, and those are core benefits. The other two things that we're going to talk about more are the flexible spending account and the health savings account. That also falls under core. But I want to jump to the voluntary benefits. A lot of times when I do the core enrollment, they also offer voluntary benefits. And with the voluntary benefits, it could be an accident plan. It could be a critical illness cancer policy, accident, insurance, all those plans. And again, as I was talking to them about the other benefits, I'm getting to know that person. So that person might say, oh, my daughter plays hockey and she got hurt last year, you know, and the hospital bill, you know, we're still paying on that. So those are triggers to me. So when I get to the voluntary products, the first product I'm going to talk about in that case is the accident plan, because now you're telling me you have a daughter that plays hockey. And, you know, through the conversation, she may have said, oh, I have a son playing football. So that's the perfect candidate for an accident plan. And again, with the voluntary products, I can do any company. It could be Aflac. It could be Allstate. It could be Trustmark. It could be Unum. I have, in my 18 years, done every single company out there. So that's why I'm an expert. And I enjoy my job. So that's why I make sure the employee is the most important person, you know, to make sure their needs are met. And, you know, that's my job to do that. When they send me out there as a contractor, they pay me a fee and they give me the time, you know, Rhonda, this enrollment, we need you for 2 weeks. Can you do the 2 weeks? So I can turn it down or I can accept it. So that's how that works. So that's just a little overview. But the most important thing, when you're doing benefit education, you got to make sure you listen to the employee's needs, you know, and that's my most important thing. Now, going back to two of the things that I wanted to focus on was the flexible spending account and the health savings account, because a lot of people get them confused.
Yeah, so what's the difference between the FSA and the HSA?
Well, that one, it's going to be a long question. So let me talk about can you sign up for an FSA or HSA?
Okay.
A lot of people question, can you sign up for an FSA and an HSA, you know, during an enrollment? And the answer is no. An HSA account, you're only allowed to sign up for that if you have a qualified high deductible health plan. There are only two exceptions. You can sign up for what is called a limited purpose FSA if you have an HSA. And what the limited purpose FSA is, it only covers dental and vision only. So, give you an example, because I love giving examples. A family. A couple of their kids need braces. The braces are expensive. So when you have the flexible spending account, limited purpose, you want to use that first, okay? Because, you know, everything has limits. When I tell you the difference between the FSA and the HSA, you know, I'll talk about the limits. But the limited purpose FSA, after they use that first, then they can start using the money in their HSA, because the limited purpose FSA, you have to use that in a certain amount of time. The other exception is what is called a healthcare dependent flexible spending account. Now that deals with dependent care. So it doesn't matter if they have an HSA or an FSA, they can always sign up for a dependent care FSA. And that's money that you set aside on a pre-tax basis for daycare or any kind of care you have for your children, you can use that plan for that. But my main focus is the health flexible spending account and the HSA account.
We need to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back so you can tell us the difference between FSA and HSA.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where four unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at the lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share. So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then.
Hello, this is Annetta Rogers, Join me on Wednesday at 5 p.m. for my new podcast, Legacy Game Changers. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., join me and we'll talk about finance, education, and wealth building for you and your family to leave a legacy for your loved ones. Once again, that's Legacy Game Changers, Wednesday at 5 p.m. We're back. So what is the difference between an FSA and an HSA?
Okay. Well, that is a great question. So the Health Flexible Spending Account, and that's what the FSA stands for, Flexible Spending Account, you put money into a special account on a pre-tax basis, and that money could be used only for any out-of-pocket medical expenses, or should I say health care expenses. So that could be dental, medical, vision, prescription. You could use it for your co-pays, deductibles, co-insurance. Say, for example, I bought a blood pressure machine at the drugstore. That I can use my flexible spending account. Now, with the flexible spending account, you have a max limit, okay? So the max limit is $2,750. So that's the max that you can put into the actual plan. And the great thing about the flexible spending account, give you an example. Say you wanted to put $2,000 into that account. So, and say you got paid biweekly. So they would take $76.92 from each of your paychecks, but they get that money in advance. So say your benefits take effect on January 1st, and you said you wanted to sign up for the flexible spending account. On January 1st, that $2,000 is going to be available for you to use. So it's like getting a free loan on your money in advance without paying interest. So it's a great thing because a lot of people, hey, they need that money right away. They need a lot of dental work. That's usually the case. People need a lot of dental work, and they need to use that money right away. So you can sign up for a flexible spending account, even if you don't sign up for the health plan, okay? And you can use that money for all your family members, okay? Now, with the flexible spending account, it is what they call a use it or lose it, okay? So you have a year to use that money, but most companies give you a 2.5-month grace period, and some even allow you to roll over up to $500. All right. That I have done enrollments where the employer didn't allow anyone to roll over, and that is their choice. But during the CARES Act, if you did choose, they with the coronavirus, they changed a lot of things. They allowed people to roll over up to $550 since the pandemic happened. So it's a lot of things that changed during the pandemic, which is to the positive, you know, which will help, you know, employees. If you get a debit card, and 99% of the time you do get a debit card, all you have to do is go to the pharmacy and you can just use that card and swipe it, or you could submit it online, and worst case you can mail it in, but a lot of people don't use that unless they have an issue with a computer, but most of the times the company does give you a debit card. Now, the most important thing is you need to do is save your receipts because they can request a receipt. They see a cost, and they say, please prove to us you use that for a medical, you know, exemption because they have to be sure. Otherwise, you know, you got to pay taxes on that. So this is, you know, to keep your pre-tax and keep in line, always save your receipt because what they'll do is if you don't show them that receipt in a certain amount of time, they will shut your card off. Also, with the FSA, you cannot make changes during the year. So if you said earlier in the year you wanted $2,000, you can't make a change. You're locked in. The only time that you can get out of that is if you have a qualifying life event. And some examples of a qualifying life event or marriage, divorce, you're adopting a child, or you're having a child, death or dependent. So Those are some of the examples of qualifying life events. And that's the only time that you can make those changes. Now, you can now, part of the CARES Act, you can now use it for over-the-counter drugs. There was a time that you could use it for over-the-counter drugs, and then that they changed that probably around 2011 or 2013, but now the CARES Act brought it back. So now you can use that money for over-the-counter prescriptions also. So
and
that's
what about
the
HSA. Yeah,
the HSA, this is my favorite account in the world. And I'm all about building wealth, you know, for my family. I don't have children, but, you know, for me and my spouse, and I try to teach my nieces and, you know, nephews, you know, the HSA is the only account, the only savings account that is truly tax-free, okay? And what I mean by that, sometimes somebody said, well, the Roth IRA is tax-free. I said the Roth IRA is good, but it's not truly tax-free. What I mean by that, when you go take out the money from the Roth, you're not going to pay taxes, but you put money into it after you paid your taxes. So it was post-tax money. So you already paid taxes. You paid taxes on the seed, which you want to do. You'd rather pay taxes on the seed than the harvest. Well, with the HSA, you're never going to pay taxes. This is an account that you can take money out of your account on a pre-tax basis, okay? Now, there is high deductible plans, and then there's a qualified, high deductible health plan. So in order for you to have the health savings account, qualified means the high deductible plan, the deductible can never be less than $1,400, and the family deductible can never be less than $2,800. Okay? If it's less than that, then it doesn't qualify as a qualified health, you know, high deductible health plan. And the out-of-pocket max can never be less than $7,000. Of $14,000 for the family. Now, with the HSA, you can make changes during the year. Because remember, with the FSA, you couldn't. You're locked in, you know, unless it's a qualifying life event. With the HSA, you can make changes. You can stop it. You can start it up again. You can change the amount. So there's a lot of flexibility with the health savings account. You can only use the money you have contributed to the plan. Okay, remember with the FSA, remember I told you they front you the money? That $2,000 would be sitting on your account. And going back to another example, again, say I'm taking $50 out of each paycheck. And say in February, I have to go to the specialist and it costs $200. I've already only taken out $100 out of my HSA plan. So what you would have to do is I can use the card for that $100, but then I have to wait a couple months, and then I can submit a claim for the remaining balance. So that money is not fronted. You only can use it as you put it in, okay? And the money is yours for life. You can use that money for eligible expenses, just like the FSA, medical, dental, out-of-pocket expenses. Now, you cannot contribute if you aren't in that high deductible health plan, but you can use the money. So say, for example, say somebody signs up for a high deductible health plan and they put the money into the high deductible plan for that year. The following year, they switch over to a traditional medical plan. So they can no longer contribute to that health savings account, but the money is yours for life, so you can still continue to use that money because you're still in a traditional plan. You're still going to have co-pays, deductibles. So like I said, the money is never going to leave you, okay? And the only time that you can stop, you can contribute to that HSA until you become Medicare eligible. You can no longer contribute. But again, the money is there for you to use for the rest of your life. A lot of things that people don't know. The HSA can be used for COBRA. Say someone leaves a job, and now they're going to continue with COBRA. And you know COBRA is expensive. If you had that HSA plan, guess what? You can use that to pay for your COBRA premiums. Say, for example, you were unemployed, and you went on, but you got to be on unemployment compensation. You could use that money to purchase a health insurance plan. A lot of people don't know that, too. So if you're on unemployment and you need health insurance and you got to go get an individual plan, you can use that money. Now, if you can't use the card, you can always withdraw that money, but again, save receipts, and you can show proof that you were on unemployment at that time and you needed to use that money for your health insurance premiums. So all of the things is that the key is to keep good records. You can also use the HSA for long-term care premiums. This is why this is one of my favorite savings accounts, because people don't understand what it does for you in the later years. Do you know that you can use an HSA for Medicare Part A, B, and D and the HMO premiums? You cannot use it for Medicare supplement. Okay, that's a little different. But you know how some people have the Medicare premiums come out of their Social Security check. Again, you can withdraw the money and you can prove to the IRS, hey, I'm reimbursing myself. And guess what? As long as you continue to use this HSA for medical, dental, vision, prescription, or any out-of-pocket expenses, you're never going to be taxed on it. So what person would not put money into the HSA account?
That sounds great. So let's skip and change the topic. So as an entrepreneur, what was your biggest financial challenge?
Let me see. Probably figuring out how to get passive income. You know, a lot of times when we do things as an entrepreneur, you want to have multiple streams of income. Okay, so with the multiple streams of income, you need, you know, you're going to have challenges. Marketing, that might have been a challenge. A lot of things are Facebook-driven, LinkedIn-driven now. And that, for me, might have been more of a challenge because I'm not a person that does, you know, YouTube and, you know, and all that. So those are challenges, basically. For me, is, you know, with technology now and now with COVID, I'm going to have to do more things, you know, like YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
So what do you say will be your biggest money mistake that you've done as an entrepreneur?
Biggest money mistake?
Like I partnered with the wrong person. That was my biggest money mistake.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah, you can partner with the wrong person or that person because if you're not there, like say for the pizza business, I was not there, and that was the deal that we made, you know, because I was so busy. You know, I wouldn't be over there. And you have to trust that person. And you're right. And you can't trust everybody, you know, especially when you're dealing with that type of business. I know the money that was coming in. So, yeah, the challenge is to make sure you have the right partner, you know. So you can't trust everyone. And you have to, Jay say, mind your business. And I don't mean mind your business in that way. You have to mind your business. You know, that would be, that was probably the biggest challenge.
And what does leaving a legacy mean to you?
Oh, my goodness. And I told you earlier I didn't have any children, but I am trying to educate my nieces and my nephews. You have to, in order to make it through, I tell them the three, like I say, the HSA account and properly structured life insurance policy where you'll be in control, to me, is a way to leave legacy for your family, you know, from children, your children's children. I'm trying to teach them how to build a legacy. I tell them about saving 15% or more of their income. I tell them about maximum protection. Make sure you have life insurance. Make sure you're auto insurance and you have a will and trust. Those are important things. Make sure you have disability. You need full replacement of your income. And then the most important thing is 6 to 12 months of emergency money. You see what happened during the pandemic. People, mm-hmm. you know, weren't prepared because they didn't have that emergency money. And then I teach them about velocity. Make your money make money. I teach them about real estate. You know, you want to make whatever you get into, make sure it's something that makes money for you. So those are the ways to, and like I say, me personally, I think a properly structured life insurance policy, you could do all those things with that policy. So this is what I'm trying to teach them now, where they're in their 30s, you know, where they're still young. And because if I would have known some of the things when I was that age, you know, I know I was investing for, I've been with my advisor for 25, 30 years, but, you know, there's things that I would have did differently if I would have known certain things.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on my show, Rhonda. Can you tell my audience how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. I'm going to give you an email that I use for business, and it's wealthstreamsmakecashflow@gmail.com.
I like that.
They also, yes, yeah, wealthstreamsmakecashflow@gmail.com. And they can also reach me at 856-264-4244.
Well, thank you for listening to Legacy Game Changer. It is my mission to help as many families get their finances life together. I can be reached at legacygamechanger@gmail.com, or you can text me at 443-906-3882. Have a blessed day.